Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. I'm your host, Matt Tardio, and today I'm bringing on a special co-host. I decided to grab and pull up one of the Discord members, who is going to be Tristan Allen. I've actually got him over here on the side. You guys are going to hear him queuing up from time to time. I'm going to actually queue him. I'm going to talk to him. I want to know different opinions. Why? Because a lot of the time it's just me talking, and I want to know what you guys have to say as these things come along. Tristan, how's it going today, man?
It's going good, man. Going good. Enjoying a beautiful day in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It's amazing.
I actually love, but you know, I got a lot of family out in Pittsburgh. Like my father's side of the family came from Pittsburgh, and so I used to go up there quite a bit. And
still
got a half sister country, man. Up there. Yeah, no, I love it out there. All right, man. First thing that we're going to be going over: Pentagon. People walking out of the Pentagon. Pete Hegseth ended up coming out with some brand new rules for the Department of War, basically saying that you don't get, they have to be escorted. Like, press has to be escorted throughout the Pentagon. They no longer get to roam freely, and they can't essentially be hunting for leaks and publishing information that hasn't been cleared by the Pentagon. Just initial thoughts on that. How do you feel?
I mean, when you have leaks, which can lead to security concerns, I mean, you got to do what you got to do to protect the best interests in the United States.
Right. And we've had some serious leaks going out of the Pentagon, like in the last year. And to me, it's something that actually needs to be done. I'm actually shocked to learn that just because you are a member of the press that you had unfettered access throughout the Pentagon. Basically, you could go anywhere. And when I see that, when I hear about what was going on, that means that they get to like basically roam around, they get to bump shoulders with officers, they get to bump shoulders with people that work in the Pentagon and see if they can find people that are sympathetic to their news organization to then leak one-sided and or false information. And this is where we get the, how do I want to say it? This is where we get the anonymous sources that are coming out.
That's completely understandable. But right. News media should never have free reign in a federal building like that.
Well, and what part of the First Amendment gives them a right to roam freely throughout the Pentagon? It doesn't. And people are saying it's an attack on the First Amendment.
Well, that's like with the White House. Does press get free roam of the White House?
No, they do not. Absolutely, they do not.
Exactly.
So why would we give them free roam there? All right. Here's your video.
And that's another thing is, I mean, the Pentagon is basically where our military runs out of.
Well, yeah, that's exactly.
For the most part. So who knows what secrets have been leaked or what other information has been leaked that we really don't know about yet.
Well, I can promise you it's a lot. You know, and I think that's half the problem. And just these reporters refusing to work there because they're no longer allowed to get leaks blows my mind. Like,
I think it's just funny.
Well, and how dishonest are you at that point to where you can't get things cleared? You know, like even if I was to publish a book about my military career, I'm going to take that book and I'm going to send it into the DOD and I'm going to ask them to screen it. And that's just what I would do as a veteran. Like, hey, these are my stories, or this is purported to be my story or a portion thereof. What do you think? You know, and just have them close it. Like, and a lot of stuff ends up getting redacted. Let me see here. What is it? Incog Faraday. Incog Faraday came in gifting out the donation to remind me to turn off the ads. So wanted to make sure I get that done. I want to switch focus.
That's always funny when he does that to you.
Oh, no, it makes me laugh every single time. When he's like, hey, ad donation, turn them off. Like, got it. No worries. I'm going to play a clip for everybody at home. It's going to be the son of Hamas. All right. Do you need me to put it up over there in the Discord for you so you can watch it along the way? Yeah, let me do that.
Yeah.
Let me do that for you so that you can actually watch this. I want you to see this, and I want people to actually think about this because it goes down, in my opinion, to, how do I want to say, what is wrong with the world and the media? They use catchphrases, they use everything else, and this goes along the lines of dishonest reporting.
Well, and that's where I'll agree with you. I think everything that the Sun has been saying, Hamas will never give up power, Hamas will never stop, he wasn't lying. The Sun was being straightforward and honest.
Right.
Because he knows what they are.
Well, right. I mean, he was there for the entire founding. He literally knows more about them than probably anybody else.
And then he's being called a liar, which is even funnier.
Right. And then they want to tell him he doesn't know what he's talking about. So this to me, it's a good 2-minute clip. I'm going to let it roll here. Just give it a listen, and then we'll talk about it afterwards.
Well, you know, this is Abby's desperate attempt to discredit me. I'm a man of the field. I fought against Hamas as part of intelligence, legitimate intelligence organization, against savage group that were targeting civilians in suicide bombing attacks, waves of suicide bombing attacks that they killed people indiscriminately. So Abby today want me for some reason to apologize for saving a human life, because my truth challenges her convenient truth. Abby does not have the authority. She's just a self-appointed low-grade journalist. How can you be a journalist and you call this a genocide, ethnic cleansing? And she just keep repeating ethnic cleansing, genocide, colonialism, etc. None of it is real, including Palestine. It's all in your head. None of it is existential. Palestine was never born. How can you free it? It was never there. It's just a colonial entity. And some people choose to make it into a national identity. And this parrot has been just repeating Hamas propaganda. Marwan Barghouti, that she's talking about him, she never met him. I knew Marwan before he got to power. He's a criminal. He killed five people. He has blood on his hands. He cheated on his wife. He has a secret son that he never revealed it to the public. Of course, I can criticize him, and I can criticize all the criminals that I know personally. She's been there only for a visit, and maybe she had some falafel sandwich, you know, and she really was blown away of the Palestinian experience. There is no such a thing as Palestine. It's about time to retire. Find a different job. You're not a journalist. You don't qualify even to be a mother.
Wow.
Thoughts, Tristan. Your thoughts. Doesn't even qualify to be a mother.
My thoughts are, like I stated, he never lied about anything that he was saying when it comes to Hamas.
Ever. And it's true.
That group. Dude, I don't know if I would say they're worse than ISIS-K. I really don't know how you'd feel about that, Matt, because like you said, you fought ISIS.
I said they are worse than ISIS. I say 100% they are worse than ISIS. Off of what I've seen, they're worse than ISIS. And I can base that on one thing and one thing alone. Hamas is worse than ISIS because at least ISIS gives people a chance to convert or die. Hamas just murdered everybody. I watched it happen.
I mean, there's hundreds of videos floating right now of Hamas just executing people. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And you don't see a single lefty screaming about Hamas blasting the so-called Palestinian people in the back of their heads, execution style.
Right. Yeah. And it's not even like, I mean, okay, so let's put it this way. When ISIS first came out, they were putting people in cages, lighting them on fire, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That was after they took them hostage, after they convicted them, after they did all of these random things. Then they would go about doing that crap, right? Like they'd give them their day in Islamic court. Here, you just have people that kill regardless because they're occupying a certain land. They believe are occupying a certain land, which is the land of Palestine, all encompassing of Israel. That's it. That's why they do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And it's just crazy. It's crazy to watch.
Yeah, and so
I saw a video the other day of a son of a child. His parents got their heads cut off, and then he got dragged into the terror tunnels.
And where'd it go? Hold on.
All because they were going to get aid, and they found out his family was one of the ones getting aid, so they cut his parents' heads off.
Uh huh. Yep, that's exactly what it was. And then the other thing is, you know, them telling, I almost put the video up on the screen from earlier today. How do I want to say this? The stuff that they were telling the people that were being held in captivity before their release is kind of what blew my mind. One of the guys they had tortured and to the point where he converted to Islam in order to feed him. Right before he got released from captivity, they were just shoving food down his throat to try to make it look like he had been fed the whole time. But just like we saw in the movie Band of Brothers, we're like, dude, you can't feed people like this. Like, you got to put them back into captivity. Like, that's the medical issues that they caused him. And so the moment.
Oh, yeah. No, I saw that. I saw all those interviews, and it was just heart-wrenching.
Yeah. All right, so here's the next video I want your commentary on. This is taking place on a college campus, and this is people, where is it? University of Oklahoma. All right, taking down and ripping away TP USA signs.
Bro, you can't just take our signs. Why are you destroying our property?
Are you gonna put me on your Insta?
I'm not gonna do anything to you, but please don't destroy our signs. Okay. We paid good money for these signs. I don't know why you feel the need to destroy our property. Look, they're all crumpled up. I'm staring at them.
I don't know. It looks like you can still read them. Pretty legible.
It looks like it's already promoting rapist on there. And
he's
not.
It's an alleged.
I cannot believe y'all are
He's innocent
down
until proven guilty.
That's so embarrassing.
Okay, let's start there with that. We're gonna pause it right here and dissect this.
So was that poster? Can you rewind that video a little bit to where you could see the poster a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
That looks like a poster. What, Charlie Kirk? Charlie Kirk on there?
Yeah, and his wife. Charlie Kirk and his wife. That's what it looks like.
And that lady just called him a rapist.
Allegedly. Or they're talking about promoting Donald Trump, because that's what I heard out inside Portland was, you know, if you voted for Trump, you voted for a rapist. Yep. That's what I heard. And so that's what I believe they are promoting or trying to promote here. I mean, it's clearly TPUSA, so it's Charlie Kirk related, and they're saying that, yeah. Now, the one thing
that poster, all I see is his wife and Charlie Kirk.
Right. Yeah. So, but they're probably saying that they're promoting Donald Trump. But here's my point that I'm getting at is that the media, right, in that last clip that we just played, where he's saying that you are promoting false narratives and you're promoting all of this crap and you should be ashamed to call yourself a journalist. Where do we think these people are getting this narrative from that allows them to go roam around and do whatever it is they want to do, such as rip down signs, throw them in trash cans, call people rapists, call people murderers, and all of that crap, throw the inflammatory language out? Where do you think they're getting that
radical
from?
Radical left media?
Bingo. Radical left media.
The radical left media.
Bingo. And so in my opinion, it is a very good thing. Like, as we start looking at the Pentagon and we look at guys like the son of Hamas and what he's doing in the media and all of these different things that are fueling this type of crap. And the reason I'm focusing on this is because this weekend we have the anti-King protest that's coming up yet again. And by the way, like, dug into the funding for the anti-King protest. And guess who do you think's connected to it? Where do you think that funding's probably coming from?
George Soros.
That's the one. Nailed it. Right? Being washed through a different nonprofit. Republican did a great dump on it.
Matt, this is what I don't understand, is why can't the United States government just arrest that man already?
Good question. And so and I think I might actually have the clip of, what is it, Ted Cruz. I'm not a big fan of Ted Cruz. I didn't put it on here, but Ted Cruz is actually looking at people that are funding things like that to be held liable under RICO charges.
Yeah, because day one of all this popping off, I said, I guarantee you 1,000%. I've said this in Discord talks with you, Matt. George Soros is behind all of this. George Soros hates the West. He hates the West ideology, and he wants to crush it. What is the best way to crush it?
Information. And that's the same thing that, like, the Russians learned. It's the same crap that the Soviets did following World War II, was trying to control the information space here in the United States of America. Take control of the media, take control of the universities, take control of the information that's being pushed out, push the party line, do all sorts of things. And it was absolutely funny to me being at an Antifa protest, an anti-fascist protest, and they don't even realize that some of the stuff they're doing is fascist. Trying to silence another political party using violence is fascism. And yet that's what they do.
I don't know if you've been paying attention to the governor's race in Virginia.
No, that one I haven't.
With Sears, All right, this lady has been calling out her opponent because her opponent will not condemn the lieutenant governor who's running for lieutenant governor right now from saying that he wants to kill his political opponent and his two children.
Really?
Yes.
Dude, not okay. Absolutely not okay.
I think the kids are 2 and 5.
Jeez.
Saying,
I want you to.
This lieutenant governor said that, and she tried to condemn it and try to get the main person on the Democratic side to condemn it. And this person won't even look at her and won't condemn it. So that tells you where the left sits with political violence.
Oh, well, let's finish this part out then. And then I'm going to play a clip for you of Mamdani over, you know, the guy that's running for the mayor of New York City.
Mayor.
I want to finish this clip out and finish getting your thoughts on it, because we weren't even halfway through listening to the crap that was coming out of these people's mouths. Finish getting your comments on this video, and then I want to play a clip for you of Mamdani. So let me get this up on the screen. You can still see and hear it, right?
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to let it roll.
But please don't destroy our signs. We paid good money for these signs. I don't know why you feel the need to destroy our property. Look, they're all crumpled up. I'm staring at them.
I don't know. It looks like you're swinging them. Pretty legible.
It looks like these ones are rapist on there.
It's an alleged. He's,
I cannot believe y'all are
He's innocent until proven guilty.
That's so embarrassing for y'all.
Oh, it's embarrassing that you feel the need to destroy our property.
Why
in front
do you have
of our
a rapist face
hey,
around here? Why are you promoting a rapist on campus
of
women?
Why are you restricting gross. Our freedom of speech by destroying our signs that are advertising for our event?
Oh, no,
it's free for people to
violence.
Go. This isn't
that's
violence.
Just fucked up.
If anything, you're being violent towards us by destroying our property.
We're going to talk about the students you're randomly harassing on your...
It didn't seem like she touched anything. You're promoting a rapist. You're fucking white supremacists.
What did I do to you?
We all know y'all are the Nazis, okay?
We're Nazis.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
How are we Nazis? Please explain to me how we're Nazis.
That's a great interaction. That's very mature of you to destroy
that y'all promote
people.
Rapists on a campus with women.
Do you know a single college campus that doesn't have women? Let's start there.
Yeah, and oh my god, that girl needs to have her head checked.
Here's the thing, though. This is what I noticed. Like, these are the thoughts of every single person that was on the protester side that I ran into. They throw out the words rapist. They throw out the word Nazis. I wore my thin blue line hat, and I got called a racist because of that.
Yeah. I saw that. I was watching that stream.
Right. I should have sat there and argued with him, but that wasn't my intent at the time, was to get into debates with people out there on the street. It was simply to be covering what was going down at the time. But yeah, being called a racist and all of those other things just based on stupid little things. They don't care.
Yeah.
This is the problem, is they've been indoctrinated to the point where they no longer care what the truth is. They have made up their mind for what the truth is. And if it goes against their narrative, then they have the right to rip down your signs. They have the right to call you, a racist, a rapist supporter, a Nazi, et cetera.
They have the right to dox you.
To
have
what?
Have your family threatened.
Right.
To dox you and to have your family threatened.
Correct. Yeah, they can do all of those things. It doesn't matter. And for those of you guys that are just now joining us and wondering what the heck's going on, I decided that I'm going to take Random True Supporter and have him co-host the show. And I want to hear people's thoughts as I go along presenting all this other information. Now, here's the next video that I'm going to play for you. And I hope you're ready for it, man, because in my opinion, it's pretty freaking wild. Are you aware that like several airports over in North America yesterday got like their PA systems got taken over?
No, I did not hear that.
Yep. So that happened. Quite a bit across like British Columbia. Let me get this up on the screen for you so that you can hear it. You can see it. Okay. Can you see what I've got blown
We're
up?
We're good over here.
Okay, perfect. I'm going to go ahead and play this for the people at home. I just want you to hear what message is being blasted over the PA system. And this happened across several airports in North America yesterday.
Netanyahu and Trump. Turkish hacker Cyber Islam was here. Telegramtional Cyber Islam. Free Palestine. Free, free Palestine. Free, free Palestine. Packed by Muterith, long, live, free Palestine. Packed by Muterith. Packed by Cyber Islam. Fuck Netanyahu and Trump. Turkish hacker Cyber Islam was here. Telegrational Cyber Islam. Packed by Muterith, long, live, free Palestine. Packed by Muterith. Packed by Cyber Islam. Fuck Netanyahu and Trump. Turkish hacker Cyber Islam was here. Telegrational Cyber Islam. Hacked by Muterith, long, live, free Palestine.
And it just repeats itself.
Yeah, that's...
Hacked by cyber Islam. Multiple airports across Canada yesterday.
So I'm going to probably take a guess and say that Turkey had play in that.
Well, no kidding.
It's just a wild guess.
Well, you think? You think Turkey maybe had a play in it? I mean, they're saying it's the Islamic or Turkish Islamic hacker group or some crap, but hacked by cyber Islam. And this is, if you want to see like how this is not a peaceful religion, these extremists that are going in and taking over the airports, this is my takeaway from it. When they're saying F Donald Trump, F Israel, free, free Palestine, which doesn't exist. You can't free something that doesn't exist.
Exactly.
I think Massama Hussein Youssef said it pretty dang good. You can't free something that doesn't exist, but hacked by cyber Islam. Now, how long? Now, and this is the danger of it. And this is what I've been like worried about, preaching about, talking about for the longest time is when you allow.
Do you know what all?
When you allow this narrative, when you allow this narrative to persist like that to the point where it gets rooted in people's brains, what they don't realize is it's going to go from hacking a PA system at the airport to hacking traffic control towers and crashing airplanes into each other and things like that. And you like those people that believe in this message that think that what they're doing is right are going to be martyred right along everybody else. These people that are going to end up getting murdered in the future are going to be considered martyrs for the cause. Some of them are actually going to be okay with it. Sorry, brother. Go ahead.
Well, do you know what all airports that happened to?
There's a list of them. I can pull them up real quick if you want, but there's a list of them. I think it was four different airports up there in Canada.
Oh, in Canada?
Yep. Mm-hmm. I don't think any of them made it to the U.S.
Were there any in the United States?
I do not believe so, no. Not from what I could find. The original reports that I found on it was airports in North America, which made me scratch my head for a minute thinking maybe there was some cross-border stuff that was going on. Nope, British Columbia.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's wild.
If you're hacking into that system, what else are you hacking in? Remind people that a little over a decade ago, China had actually hacked into the Nipper system at the Pentagon. That'd be like the non-secret information. I mean, it's still a secure platform. It's basically the open source or green side stuff, but that was hacked into by China. And there's lots of information that's floating around there as well. And we ended up catching the hack. And I remember because I was deployed when that took place, and our Nipper system essentially got shut down for like a little over a week until they could figure out what was going on. And to see this type of stuff happening doesn't surprise me one tiny bit. You remember the boats last year that were crashing into like the Key Bridge and several other locations? There was one down in that's
the one that crashed into the Baltimore Bridge over the outside Baltimore.
Yep. Well, there was one in Baltimore, then there was another one in Galveston like a week later.
Oh wow!
Right. Let's see here. I want to go through some of these super chats real quick. We've got Incog Faraday obviously came in gifting to turn off the ads. We got NACDAD just dropping a buck. Thunder Chaser says the Pentagon memo is good OPSEC. They are lucky they were even allowed in the building at all. I'd agree with that. And there's video after video of them cleaning out offices. Those people just need to get over it. Mag Penn,
no
becoming
offense,
a new true supporter. Go ahead. Yeah.
With the Pentagon thing, they should have a press area just like the White House, where
you come
in for the day, you go to that press room, and then you leave.
That's what was shocking to me is I figured that's what was taking place at the Pentagon. I didn't realize that people were just free to roam the Pentagon. I had no idea. Like the fact that he shut that down is huge. I had no idea that was being allowed. Mary Dean says, Matt, you're an amazing person and your patriotism is true. You served our country. Oh, stop it. Why are you doing that? I can see your compassion and the love that you have for this country. Love you. Keep up the good fight. Phantom Shaman coming and gifting out 5 Speak the Truth memberships. Sunboy says, where's the Free Palestine mob now? The innocents getting executed. Leftists don't even know what they're fighting for. Yeah, dude. Any thoughts on that one?
That's what I said at the beginning. Where's the left screaming about the Palestinians having their heads splattered all over the ground?
Yeah, exactly. And you know they're seeing these videos. Like, you know they are. And they're things that we have been screaming since the beginning.
And it's like 10, 11, 12, 13 people at a time. Hundreds of videos. It's not no small executions. They're big executions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Everybody that blessed me for good health, I really appreciate you for my sneeze. Fox McCloud says, it isn't just Israel. It's also Ukraine. How many people walking around today still think Ukraine has Nazi soldiers despite having a Jewish leader? Yeah, that's a good one.
And yeah, that I'm dumbfounded by too. I don't understand that one.
Yeah, here's something that didn't make the stack for this morning that people should probably be aware of is yesterday, Pete Hegseth was over in Europe. He ended up having an issue with his windshield. There was like a crack in his windshield that caused him to like his plane to divert, go land back in the UK. Everybody was freaked out. It was a loss of cabin pressure due to a crack in a windshield, right? Could have hit a bird. Who the heck knows? But his business and the discussions that he had over there was actually pushing the European leaders to start purchasing those US-made weapons for Ukraine. Because they now have that ability, like give Ukraine the ability to fight. I believe it's the first time that we've actually seen Pete Hegseth come out and adamantly like go after and back Ukraine. And it's the same
1,000%.
And what people don't understand is this narrative that's being spun. Ukraine has Nazi soldiers, right? Or Ukraine is nothing but a bunch of Nazis. Meanwhile, their president is Jewish.
Well that's because the Russians, that's because Putin trying to push that rhetoric.
Well, right. It is.
I have friends that have families over in Ukraine, and they said, yeah, there's people that probably believe in that ideology over there. But you got to remember, after World War II, where did the Nazis mostly run to? They ran to Argentina. Mm-hmm. They didn't run to Ukraine. Ukraine was controlled by the Soviet Union. Why the heck would they go there?
Good question. Good question.
They would get
Patrick Loudon coming in, giving out 5 Speak the Truth memberships. And Randy says, I assume that some of the U.S. airports are more difficult to hack. Do you think they tried to do more of this? But this was the most that they could pull off, potentially. Or, you know, the way hacks work or things like that work, they could have actually had an inside person inside those different airports that had access to those systems that's sympathetic to the cause. So you likely had it. This is my opinion on how they did it. They had an inside man that gave them the information they needed in those particular airports. So they had access and placement inside those airports of somebody that was sympathetic to their cause that then gave them the information that allowed them to hack into those particular servers to make that happen. That's what I think. I don't think they just did everything remotely and on their own. And this is what I'm talking about when it goes down to like terrorism, particularly over inside Gaza. You know, when I bring up that you might have 40,000 trigger pullers inside Gaza at the start of this fight, and then you multiply that by 10 for support network. This is an example of said support network. Like that person that gave that access and information, they're just as much a member of the organization, just as much a legitimate target.
Exactly.
As anybody else.
Well, that's like yesterday when I was messaging you about that guy I was getting into that argument with about when he was calling you an Israeli shill, and he's trying to bring up all this false information about saying that Israel enacted the Hannibal Doctrine and Israel massacred all those people just to be able to attack the Palestinians.
Right.
So how do you explain all the videos of the Hamas fighters going into the kibbutzes and killing people?
Well, they can't. And they say that those are fake or that those are isolated or that was only Hamas doing that. And you know, what I do have, which I haven't released yet, which maybe I ought to release, I have a video of a full walkthrough of the kibbutz that the Bibas family got taken out of, inside of some of those buildings, around some of those buildings, for people to understand the true destruction of what took place. I think maybe today I'm going to release one of those videos, and it's of a tour. A lady gave myself and the other people I was with a private tour. I went over there on senior military council, right? People that are in news media, that are senior military leaders that actually have the ability to affect change in this country. And what I saw inside of that kibbutz was absolute, complete, and total destruction. It was freaking disgusting. And there was just overwhelming evidence that Hamas was there to kill as many people as they could. They were not in the line of taking prisoners.
They were blowing into the bomb shelters to get to these people.
They didn't have to blow into them. You know what they like? So those bomb shelters, I wish I had the video ready. Maybe I'll take it and post it and whatever, but they didn't have to. Those doors inside those bomb shelters are designed for incoming rocket fire, right? They're not designed to have like, you know, as a safe room, if you will, just as a bomb shelter. And so those doors, you can just open and close. There's no locks on them, no anything like that. And so people are holding those doors shut, right? People are trying their best to hold those doors shut, and they're getting shot through the door, and that's how they were able to get inside. In every single bomb shelter door that people were hiding in, there's bullet holes. And one of them that I went in, you still had the blood splatter on the wall, along the door, like everything. And it's so freaking insane. 2 years later, they left the blood on the wall, which is crazy for like Jewish faith, like typically for burial. You know, they'll take every drop of blood. Right.
Yep.
But in this case, they wanted, like, the family wanted it known that this is what happened. And they left the evidence there for you to see. And I've got that video, and I'm going to release that. Do you see what I currently have up on the screen? We're going to switch to...
With Chicago?
Yep. We're going to talk... Yeah, I'm going to play this clip. It's a 2-minute clip, and I want everybody at home to like give it a listen and actually pay attention to what's going on, because this directly ties into the ICE protests that we have and the same narrative that we heard coming from that Charlie Kirk deal, like where people are stealing the signs, calling everybody Nazis and everything else, screaming about the kidnappings. There was another video that I saw yesterday that was coming out of Oregon that had people like some radical Antifa lady that was just taking her vehicle and blocking off road traffic.
Yes.
Saying that they're kidnapping people and encouraging others to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. She was blocking in a van. I saw in a big truck. Yeah. I saw that video.
Yeah. I want to play this video because I want people to listen to what these federal agents are actually doing in the United States versus what they're being portrayed to be, you know, to be doing. And then I want opinions, right? So I'm going to let it roll.
What I'd like to do is just highlight some of the outstanding work that the men and women of the FBI have been doing. And thanks to your brave leadership and the mandate you were given by the American people to not only defend the homeland, but crush violent crime, you tasked us with our great partners at the Department of Justice and the Attorney General and the Deputy Attorney General to start making arrests and bring prosecutions and safeguard our cities. And you said it. This is just the beginning. In just 7 months, I hope the media takes a look at every one of these charts, because these are the best numbers for fighting crime in U.S. history, and it's only 7 months in. And to do that, our vehicle to do it of choice was Operation Summer Heat, which the FBI architected to go after violent criminals. And in just a 3-month span, you had 8,700 arrests of violent criminals. You had 2,200 firearms seized off the streets permanently to safeguard our communities. You had 421 kilograms of fentanyl seized. Just to put that in perspective, that's enough to kill 55 million Americans alone. You had 45,000 kilograms of cocaine seized. And thanks to our Department of Justice partners, you had 2,100 indictments in 3 months from June to September alone. Mr. President, that in and of itself would be historic for a 4-year presidency. You did that in 7 months because you let good cops be cops, and you partnered us with the right people, the Department of Justice, to put the handcuffs on and bring them to court and put them in prison. And if that weren't enough, when you look at the year, for the entire 7-month period that we're talking about here, if you look at the past 4 years of the Biden administration, 16,000, 17,000, 15,000, 15,000. That's the number of arrests year over year of violent felons in this country for the Biden administration. Mr. President, in 7 months, you have 28,600 arrests of violent felons in just 7 months alone because of your leadership and the dedication of the men and women at the FBI who want to go out there and do the job they were prevented from doing because that department used to be weaponized and politicized. And this is what happens when you take out the fangs of weaponization.
What are your thoughts, Tristan?
My thoughts are the federal government's finally being unleashed to do what it needs to be doing. Biden he made our country free game for anybody to come in and do what they wanted. Now Trump is shutting it down, and the left doesn't like it. The Democrats don't like it. Oh, well, too bad.
This is, you know what my thought on this video is when I hear this video? My thought when I hear this video is, what do you say, 28,000 arrests, however many kilograms of fentanyl, it was ridiculous. I think it was over 200 firearms that got taken off the street, and he called them all violent felons. So he's just reporting on the violent felons that ended up getting ripped off the street and that are going to be on their way into prison or on their way to their home country after they serve their time. This, when I see this and I listen to the actual effects on the street, all I can think of is how suppressed law enforcement has been over the last two decades, probably, when it came to actually getting this job done. That they had the ability, they had the intelligence, they had the information where to go and make these arrests. And it's not, it's no longer a far-fetched thought to me after watching how Portland police, how their hands were tied, seeing how the Portland police hands were tied when it came down to making arrests against violent criminals, some violent felons in some cases. It doesn't surprise me that this was taking place on a federal level either.
That's the state government's doing, in my opinion, there, straight up.
You think the state government's weren't allowing the feds to do their job? Or do you think that we have moles inside the feds?
Not allowing the state government is not allowing the police department to do their job, to go in and help when ICE is being attacked, when the feds are being attacked. They're just being told, stand down, don't do a damn thing.
They are.
Let them get attacked. Like I just said, I told you about a law that Portland is trying to pass now that will literally make it legal. If you attack a federal agent, you will not get charged.
Yeah. So, yeah, you want to hear something else? Well, you know what? Again, it's a lawsuit. So I'm going to wait till I get a green lighted statement from an attorney. But I am telling you right now, I have something that is so egregious that took place. I haven't spoke about it. I haven't brought it up. I've kept it. I've got video evidence of it. Something that happened, I believe, my last night or my second to last night in town. I was actually on the ground doing my thing. There's something so dang egregious, it's going to set America on fire. And it's going to be a lawsuit. Oh, and it goes directly in line with what you're saying.
I can only imagine the information you have.
It's insane. And I promise you, when I share this video, it's gonna go insane. I'm waiting on a 911 call to be downloaded. Like I'm waiting on the I want the 911 call back from Portland, because what that dispatcher said in response is something that not a single American should deal with. But what it goes directly into is what you're saying by the local authorities not being allowed to assist federal officers, even when there's risk of serious bodily injury and or death.
Yep.
Absolutely insane. Absolutely insane. So what would
happen last night if the federal agents would have been in fear for their life last night when that lady was ramming them and blocking them with her big truck? They would have shot her.
That's right. You know what?
It's going to come down to the point, Matt, where an ICE agent is going to be in fear for his life with these people running after him, and somebody is going to start shooting.
Yeah, I agree.
It's absolutely appalling. And I think that's what the Democrats are trying to get it to, where that ICE agent starts shooting people, and then they could say, look, now you got the agents and the fake police and these people shooting and massacring Americans. Like they try to do with that lady that rammed that ICE truck. When she got shot, they try to say that ICE had no reason to shoot her.
Yep. So I'm trying to bring up Nate Vance right now. I see he's trying to get in. I just sent him a DM, told him that, hey man, trying to bring you up as well. I want you and Nate Vance to help co-host on this one. This next video that I have to play for you. Again, I want to hear your thoughts. This is Mamdani, and this goes right back into everything that we were talking about, radical Islam working its way into this country, feds, false narratives, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and how damned this country actually is if we do not change our ways. You ready for it?
Yeah.
Into one that's affordable for each and every New Yorker.
But okay, I want to get to that, absolutely. But do you believe that Hamas should lay down their weapons and leave the leadership in Gaza?
I believe that any future here in New York City is one that we have to make sure that's affordable for all. And as it pertains to Israel and Palestine, that we have to ensure that there is peace. And that is the future that we have to fight for.
But you won't say that Hamas should lay down their arms and give up leadership in Gaza.
I don't really have opinions about the future of Hamas and Israel beyond the question of justice and safety and the fact that anything has to abide by international law. And that applies to Hamas, that applies to the Israeli military, applies to anyone you could ask me about.
Okay. One last thought on that. You have said that you would arrest Netanyahu if he came to the United States. You've been very outspoken.
Into one that's affordable.
This retard refusing to state.
Yeah.
That Hamas should lay down its arms.
He is a Hamas sympathizer, in my opinion. I think he is somewhere in cahoots with somebody, and he is feeding this false narrative information to help stir the pot to make the United States unstable, which is causing the divide, which you said is where Russia and the Soviet Union were trying to do back in the Cold War, was cause a divide. And well, making the West. The West is falling apart. And that's what the Soviet Union wanted.
Yeah. So here's two things I'm going to show you guys that you likely don't know. And Tristan, I'm not going to share this one, but I'm going to share the next one over on the screen so that you guys are able to see it over in the Discord. But this one is a tweet by Mamdani that says, we need to ban all guns. And that came out May 25th of 2022. So Mamdani, all the way back then, 3 years ago, said that we need to ban all guns. Running for mayor over inside of New York, refuses to say that Hamas needs to disarm. Now, why, oh, why would he refuse to state that Hamas needs to disarm? Very good question. Well, it just so happens, all right, that I have the exact information as to why that should be. Can you see what I put up on the screen over there? This is his bio, Assembly Member Mamdani, District 36, and he's very okay with it. Let me find it here. Let me just control F it because it'll be easier. Here we go. Taking that lesson with him, he went on to co-found his college's first Students for Justice of Palestine chapter and later organized across the country with different progressive organizations seeking to win with national elections as well as expand healthcare coverage. For those that don't know, the SJP or Students for Justice in Palestine are the ones that originally started these college protests and the ones that were responsible for a lot of the violent assaults, taking over buildings, kidnapping people, violent felony actions, defacing property, breaking God only knows how many laws. Mamdani helped to co-found one of those organizations at his college. Now, are you surprised by his statement?
No, not at all. Dude's a radical.
Yeah, beyond the shadow of a doubt, he's a radical. Beyond the shadow of a doubt. He doesn't want guns in America, but he's okay with radical Islam having guns. He funds SJP, who later helps co-found a chapter of SJP, who goes on to commit violent acts.
Well,
shocking. And this is who's running for New York. And for those that don't know, and here's something else I want to point out here. For like the Jewish diaspora that's living abroad, the largest concentration and population of Jewish people in the United States is in New York City, for those that don't know. And so when you ask why Mamdani is running and why there's so much backing behind this guy, that's why. They are literally going after.
If I'm not mistaken, Matt, he already said that he'd kick all the Jews out of New York, didn't he?
I don't remember that line.
I'm pretty sure I've heard something about him saying that he would kick all the Jews out of New York.
It wouldn't surprise me at all. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome up to the stage. You know, originally we were having just Tristan Allen co-hosting with me here, but Nate Vance decided to grace us with his presence today. Nate, say hi to the people, friend.
Hey, what's going on? Is my mic working?
Yeah, it's working beautifully. I've missed you so much.
Man, I've been busy. I've been traveling.
I hear you.
And speaking of traveling, let me explain something to you. So all I needed to know about the pro-Palestinian cause was when they hacked into that airport PA system. And as somebody who's been flying a lot recently, I hate flying enough without somebody injecting their political beliefs into that whole process. So
right.
That's straight to jail. Straight to jail for, like, just shut up. It's stressful enough. I don't need politics involved.
Would you get on an airplane here in the United States if your PA system got hacked with that message saying F Netanyahu, no. F Trump, free Palestine? Would you get on an airplane knowing that airport had just been hacked?
Probably not. Probably not. Especially if I saw people with, like, pro-Palestinian flags on, or, you know, lapel pins or some, you know, nonsense like that. As I'm getting on the plane, I'd be like, nah. Now I'll take the next flight.
You
know what I mean?
Yeah.
So 1,000% would agree with that. Would not get on a plane.
So I want to hear your guys' thoughts on this, and I'm glad that we got Nate up here. I'm just going to go ahead and share it and put it up on the screen for everybody that's over inside the Discord. But Qatar, right? Qatar is going to have a military base here in the United States of America. I'm looking for the appropriate title to make sure I can get that screen shared for you guys. The article I want up is from the AP, so give me a second here. Now I'm just looking for that. There it is. Bingo. Share. Now you guys can see what I've got up on the screen. Pentagon will build a training facility for Qatari pilots in Idaho. A lot of this crap is being blamed on Trump. I guess before we even I give a little bit of a background on it, years ago, we sold some aircraft to Qatar. And so I'm just going to give you guys the brunt, honest truth of it. And it's funny because the AP buried it way down in this article, but luckily I was able to find it when I was digging into this. This got approved underneath the Biden administration. In 2020, U.S. Air Force announced it had signed a deal with Qatar for the sale of more than 35 F-15s. An Air Force environmental study completed 2 years later revealed that Mountain Home Air Force Base was proposing building a facility that would house 12 Qatari F-15 jets and about 300 additional Qatari and U.S. Air Force personnel. So the way this is being portrayed in the media is that Qatar is getting its own air base here in the United States of America, kind of like the U.S. has over in Qatar, but we are a section of that. This is completely different. What this is stating is that we are going to basically be training pilots, right? So we're going to exchange training, which the United States government has been doing for a while, because we sold them F-15s and they're going to be training here in the United States. We're going to have pilots and their crews. Likely they're going to go through the training process, and that's going to be there, not just the Qatari military personnel, but also U.S. Air Force personnel. So they don't get their own base. They get a section of the base that they are building up in order to house additional personnel, including U.S. Air Force personnel, in order to train pilots. All of that was approved under the Biden admin. And it's being pinned as if Trump is striking these deals to allow Qatar to go in and do all of that. What are you guys' thoughts? Go ahead.
I'll let Nate speak on that first. I have to catch my thought on that.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, this is stupid. This is a stupid thing for people to complain about. This is a practice that we've done for decades. If people buy things from us, right? Like if we sell, you know, who else did this? The Poles. Like the Polish, when they bought F-16s and kind of transitioned over from their MiG-29s to F-16s, we established a base for the Poles, who used to be what? Friendly to the Soviets. You know what I mean? Like they weren't part of the Soviet Union, but they were kind of, you know, under that umbrella of management. And then they switched and we worked with them, right? So when people buy a product, whether it's a military product or a civilian product, guess what comes along with it? Training, right? You can't just ship an F-15EX to somebody and be like, well, figure it out.
I mean, yeah.
They spent billions of dollars on those airplanes. It's kind of fair that we teach them how to use them. So, and that's a normal practice that we've done forever. They're not getting a base where they can fly around independently. And if you think that those pilots are not going through like some of the most extensive background checks on planet Earth, you're crazy.
Right.
Because they are.
Oh, yeah.
So here's an example that I want to give because people don't know that we do this stuff. We call it Joint Combined Exchange Training. Happens all the time, right? It's a form of diplomacy. Also, that's all I'm going to get into at that point, right? When I was going through the SF qualification course during Robin Sage, part of my, you know, training ODA, okay, if you will, for Robin Sage, I had an officer from the Jordanian military that was embedded with us as part of my team as we were going through Robin Sage. Now, that individual was not allowed access to everything that we were, right? He was able to ride along, but there was oftentimes we'd have to take breaks, move to the other side. He's not allowed certain information and so on and so forth, right? But that's Jordan. And for those that don't know, 82nd Airborne, First Battle of Fallujah Hospital inside of Iraq had been taken over by members of the Jordanian Special Forces. That's what the intel on the ground said. So you had members of the 82nd Airborne that were fighting outside of this hospital with Jordanian spec ops inside of it in Iraq back in 2003. So I'm telling you guys that this stuff, this training, all of this crap, this has been diplomacy is how they end up using it. And they've been doing it for a long time. This tiny little thing is being blown up to distract you from something else, in my opinion. Nate?
And the ones blowing it out of proportion is the left right now.
Correct. Yeah,
because, and they're also saying it has to do with the plane that Trump was gifted from Qatar too.
Yeah, well, right. Right. I didn't agree with that in the first place. It's just stupid to me to take that gift in general. You know, look, if I am spending United States government money, if I am a pageant or if I am a field ordering officer, and I am given money by the United States government to spend on locals, businesses, whatever, you know, the country, I've spent a buttload of United States money in some cases. I can't accept a gift over $20.
Yeah.
Or at least those were the rules when I was in. You can't accept a gift over $20. Right? Because people always want to give you gifts because, you know, it's corruption. It's anti-corruption stuff. So why, when we have a president that's doing, and I agree with a lot of Trump's policies, but I'm also able to sit here honestly and say, that's garbage. At no point in time should we be accepting a gift of that nature from Qatar. I don't understand why I can't have both those beliefs.
The reason that was accepted was out of good faith as well. It wasn't directly given to Trump. It was given to the Air Force.
Correct.
There's a difference with that.
Yeah, it was. Yes.
But I think it was out of good faith between the alliance that we have with Qatar, even though Qatar funds a lot of weird shit going on around the Middle East and everybody knows it. Trump was probably, all right, good faith. Let's see if we could try to, you know, make this alliance work and fix the Middle East, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean,
that's where I sit on that.
I'd have to dig into the legalities of it. I just don't like the optics of it. You know, United States government blows through so much money. I understand that we need to fix our spending problem here in the United States of America, but I don't think one airplane is going to fix that problem. Look, if we need new aircraft, we buy new aircraft for the United States government. We write off, you know, trillions of dollars every single year. Every single tax dollar that was collected in the month of June this year went to paying off our interest. That's how in debt this country is. So I get it. I get it. But I also get optics.
That's another thing is Trump is trying to, you know, cut on the spending, right? And he's trying to cut all this radical, stupid spending out that we don't need to be sending money to 122 countries out of the world. Why the hell are we doing that?
Very, very good question, my friend. I have absolutely no idea.
The only ones screaming about all that funding being cut are the Democrats. I wonder why. I wonder what kickbacks they're getting.
Well, let's talk about this. We've got the No Kings protest is coming up this weekend again. And there is a huge thread that I ended up reading through. It's way too much information for me to like put in here. If you guys go over to Twitter and you find Data Republican did a very deep dive into the founders of this weekend's protest, where the money's coming from and everything else. And it does, in fact, you know, as far as I'm concerned, after reading their thread, allegedly point back to George Soros. I want you guys to listen to this video.
The No Kings protest, Maria, really frustrating. I mean, this is part of Antifa, paid protesters. It begs the question, who's funding it? But Democrats want to wait for a big rally of a No Kings protest when the bottom line is, who's running the show in the Senate? Chuck Schumer's not running the show. The No Kings protesters or organizers are running the show. Is AOC threatening a primary against Chuck Schumer? Is she running the show? But you need a strong leader in the Senate to take control and make decisions. And Chuck Schumer's blown in the breeze. He has no power, no authority, because he's given it up to his primary opponent, potentially an AOC, yeah, or to the No Kings protest organizers. And it's shameful. The No Kings protest, Maria.
Before witnessing everything that I've witnessed in the last couple of weeks, I would say that sounds insane. Since witnessing everything, I say plausible. I don't know about probable, but definitely plausible.
And I guarantee you, with what they're saying, is AOC is holding a primary challenge on him over his head. If he doesn't, he's out.
Yeah.
AOC would easily mop the floor with him. And he knows it. So he's caving to her.
I agree.
Caving to the left. He's caving to Ilhan Omar. He's caving to all of them. Cory Booker, Maxine Waters, all of them.
I'm putting out a poll just because I'm curious, because I kind of do like this, and maybe it'll be a little thing that I do for a while, but I'm actually kind of enjoying like talking to people that are co-hosting. And so I want to know, you guys that are over there watching the show, I just put up a poll. Do you like having true supporters co-host? Because I actually really like the concept of this, bringing you guys up in the Discord, having you all help co-host the show and get your thoughts and opinions, as opposed to afterwards sitting there and taking questions. I'd rather just join early, get somebody in the Discord that wants to co-host for the day, and then pop off with the show and just get your guys' thoughts as we're rolling through things. I really like it. I don't know if you guys like it. I like it.
No, I enjoy it. It gives a second opinion.
Exactly.
Or a third opinion.
Exactly. And it's, I don't want to say it's an unbiased opinion, but it's unknown to me what's going to actually come out.
And yes. In my opinion,
I was just going to say, I think conversations sometimes are a little bit more enlightening than just being, than just dictation. So yeah. Sometimes it just opens you up to a point of view and presents a point of view sometimes that you didn't expect, you didn't see it coming. And it's the natural reactions to that are interesting.
Well, so that's my opinion. And Nate, of all people that have given me different opinions, it's you. Speaking of which, Nate, something that I want to ask you, how did your trip to Europe go?
It went well.
First inform people what you did, because, yeah.
Okay, so I went to the Warsaw Security Conference, and then afterwards, after that ended, I made a little kind of impromptu trip east of Poland to Kyiv.
Okay.
And now what I did in Kyiv, I can't necessarily discuss in great detail. Although I did post a picture of me shooting a PKM in a suit, which was pretty kind of cool.
I missed that.
Yeah. So, that was fun. But yeah, I did some other stuff over there. It was interesting. One of the things that was the most interesting to me, coming from the Eastern European perspective, is I'm talking to a bunch of generals and policymakers, and I have a certain kind of lived experience of Ukraine and the conflict over there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm listening to these policymakers and generals and their perceptions of reality, of what's going on the ground. I'm like, look, if there's a bridge between my lived experience and your perceptions, it's the longest bridge in the world.
Yeah.
I think one of the biggest problems the West has made over the last 3.5 years of this conflict is they have not taken or made a concerted effort to get actual human beings on the ground where the conflict is actually taking place. I think they're relying too much on like satellite information, and they're missing some of the nuance. That's funny. They're missing some of the nuance of what the problems these guys are facing. And if, these generals are very intelligent people and these policymakers are very intelligent. And the way I like to equate it is they're like calculators, right? And calculators are very good at coming up with answers, but mm-hmm. the input, the data that you input into them, if it's incorrect, you'll get the wrong answer 100% of the time. And I think that's where
Thank
we're
you.
At.
I agree with that statement so much. Yeah, go ahead, Tristan.
Oh, I agree. I 1,000% agree. But I could see somewhat of the issue of getting people over there to try to get people on the ground. My concern with doing that would be Russians targeting them with drones to prevent information from getting out.
Look, dude, I spent three years over there as the cousin of a senator. And if my dumbass can do it, I'm pretty sure we could get some more people over there doing it. And actually just recording like unbiased data, right? And that's the problem when you get like just pure volunteers. They're obviously biased towards Ukraine, which is fine. I'm not criticizing people for that. But what you want is people that are just unbiased, just the facts, bottom line up front. What are the problems? What do we need to do to fix them? And, you know, that it wouldn't be that hard and it wouldn't require that many people to get that done.
So what do you think about the comments that Seth made yesterday about, you know, basically telling Europeans to get off their butt and start purchasing weapons for Ukraine? Do you think that we just saw a big shift in like U.S. policy towards Ukraine?
Oh, yeah. No, I think that the U.S. is tired of Putin's bullshit and they realize that he's the impediment to the end of this. This is an opinion. That's not like I'm not, that's not insider information, but, you know, I think that some of the problems that need to be solved are not purely technological, right? Some of them are administrative problems, right? And that's, there's nothing wrong with that. It's not all, I'm not saying all doom and gloom, but like with anything, you need to find the weak points in your game and, you know, plug up those gaps. And I think that the West has not done everything they can do on that administrative side. And when you talk about technology, technology is very expensive, right? Those weapons are very expensive and they're consumables, right? So once you fire them, they're gone. But the concept of transferring information and fixing some of those administrative issues, that's permanent and it's basically free. So, you know what I mean? And I just think we've lacked on that front.
Do you think that that shift in policy from the White House is going to turn off a lot of Republicans? Or do you think that the primary concern of the Republicans was basically about U.S. spending over there? Because this, the way they have it set up, just to be clear, is countries are allowed to purchase weapons from the United States in order to support Ukraine. This isn't the U.S. spending money. This isn't us like, you know, cutting breaks to these countries. It's literally saying, you guys buy weapons from us. We will manufacture them and ship them to Ukraine for you. Do you think that is in line with their views?
I don't think it'll turn off the Republican base at all. I think that was one of the biggest concerns among the Republican base was more of like a fiscal thing more than a moral thing. I mean, you always have the idiots doing the Nazi stuff. You know what I mean? Like we were talking about earlier, but you know, the main kind of like just kind of honest political Republicans that I speak to are like, listen, I don't really know much about the conflict in general. I just know it's a lot of money, right? And they're concerned about it and they have every right to be concerned as taxpayers, right? Now I agree with it. The problem is the Europeans have a difficult problem parting with their money because they spend all their peace dividend funds on social programs and they can't budget for it, right? Like if they wanted to spend money on solving this problem, they could have done it with their own military industrial complex 3.5 years ago, but they haven't, right? So that's where I have a little bit of concern on how much the Europeans are going to be willing to spend. And if they were going to spend money, they'd probably want to spend it at home. Yeah. So I wouldn't necessarily blame them for that, but it's, you know, that's where I say, look, you know, the money problem is that's an arithmetic problem and it's really hard to solve, especially when you have like, you know, a gaggle of European countries and you can't get them to agree on anything.
Yeah. It's funny is
the administrative problem, those issues we could fix relatively quickly. And we're pretty good at that once we cut through the bullshit and sorry for the language, but once we cut through the nonsense, we're pretty good at doing those things. And it is a problem that could be improved, right? It's an area of improvement that I just think we haven't focused on enough.
So
you're 1,000% correct, Nate.
I've got to ask a question real quick. And Tristan, give me just a sec. Unfortunately, guys, I have a doctor's appointment for my kid that I have to run to here. But Nate, I've got to ask a question that I think only a soldier could think of. What did it feel like to be back in Ukraine holding a machine gun? Because you were a machine gunner over there, for those that don't know. Nate fought in Ukraine for 3 years, just kept it to himself of who he was and everything else. How did it feel to be back in Ukraine in a diplomatic sense, wearing a suit and tie and then standing on a range pulling the trigger of a machine gun? To be like, how was that odd for you? Or like, I don't know how it would feel if I went back to Afghanistan and did, you know, like in a diplomatic effort, standing around, like it would just be weird.
Yeah, surreal is kind of the feeling, you know, because when I left, I was like, I'll probably never come back, you know, given the political landscape, you know what I mean?
Well, right.
So to go back, right, was just kind of funny, but it felt, you know, just remarkably familiar. You spend that much time there. It was comfortable. It was like, I'm just back. Now the being in a suit thing, you know, you do feel like kind of a homo wearing Oxfords, you know what I mean? Running around in Kyiv. But, you know, that's the way I look at it is, you know, I had one uniform and I could help in, you know, or at least attempt to help in one capacity. And now this is my new uniform. So it's just a uniform change and that's it. So
I love that, man. I really do. I love that. I love that thought on it. Tristan, I'm going to give you a chance, sir, for some closing thoughts, because like I said, I've got to close this out, guys, because I do have an appointment with my kiddos. So go ahead, Tristan, what you got?
So my closing thoughts with this is I said that, you know, the radical left agenda is definitely a real thing with the whole trying to destroy the West, in my opinion, is what I feel like what's going on. And trying to destroy the capitalist conservative way of life. I was going to bring up another point to you. Nick Shirley, he went on a ride along with ICE.
Mm-hmm.
And he literally filmed them attacking ICE.
Yeah.
Attacking ICE in a parking lot.
Are you shocked?
Like, and then he started getting death threats while he was in Chicago. And yeah. Guess what? He took them death threats to the police department. They didn't do a dang thing with them. They said, oh, nothing we could do about it.
Do you know when I, because at first they were flicking me crap for being out there on the street. And then they saw that all Matt's literally doing is filming and saying everything that he sees, whether it's coming from the protester side or the counter protester side. Do you know when they actually got pissed off at me? And they changed their mind. Peace deals off. I'm a lying piece of crap. Everything else. Do you know when they changed their mind about that? When I went on national news and I said that people living in that apartment complex, I just talked to people this morning and I did. I talked to numerous people that morning that had tear gas get sucked in through the ventilation system, through the air system. And they woke up choking on tear gas in the middle of the night because it got pumped into their building. And that the residents that live in the side of that building are tired of it.
And that probably did happen because, like you said, the ventilation systems are going to rip tear gas into the building.
It 100% happened. That's not like a made up theory. That's not a made up story. It happened. So
it's absolutely appalling and disgusting.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. All right. With that being said, guys, I have to take off. I got to go through some of these super chats and stuff like that. But Tristan, I appreciate you coming up and co-hosting Texas. Sorry I didn't get a chance to talk with you. Nate Vance, always good to see you. Hope we get you back in here more often, man. Miss your face, dude.
Hey, Matt, it's always a pleasure talking with you. And Hey, Matt, I got news, good news before you leave.
Okay. Remember, doctor's appointment. Go ahead.
I'm about to be a homeowner at 29 years old.
Congratulations. That's huge, man. Congrats.
First house.
Congrats, brother. That's huge, man. Congrats.
Yep.
That's a good feeling.
I know I jumped in. I came in late. I was busy, but I'm going to take credit for Nate being here because I did ping him yesterday on X to say, hey, we need you back on STT. So
yeah, I know. I got a call. I mean, I had talked to Nate last week when I called you, Nate, but yeah, I'll give you a call again out here after the show as I'm getting ready. But yeah, thanks, Texas. Thanks, Nate, for jumping back in here. Tristan, thanks for jumping in and co-hosting. And, you know, reading through the comments, I ran a poll and overwhelming majority people said that they do enjoy having like outside opinion, things like that. Don't make it an everyday thing. So maybe we pick a day, maybe Mondays, going over everything that happened on the weekend or over the last week, getting people caught up, talking about what's going on. And Fridays. I like that. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we just run. I like that. And so if you guys are a true supporter and you want to get on that Mondays, Fridays, so Monday mornings, Friday mornings, I have no problem doing this. I actually love this platform. Like, it's a good way to get you guys a voice out, and it gives more incentive for you guys, like as true supporters, to have your voice heard, because mine is just mine. And I know even a lot of true supporters don't agree with everything I have to say. So it's nice to have. If you want to come up and just, I don't care if you don't believe in everything I'm saying, or if you want to provide a counter argument to what you feel I might be saying for the day, you're welcome to co-host. As a matter of fact, I would welcome openly, as long as you're not lying and spitting like lies, but I would welcome openly like counter view, like counterpoints up here, because that's what this country is missing. That's what's got us to this point, is other people wanting to silence the other side. And I hate that. So
there's really no counterpoints to what's going on. Everybody is seeing what's going on, and it's absolutely appalling.
Yeah, I know. It's disgusting. All right, everybody over in the Discord, thank you guys very much for joining in. Tristan, Texas, and Nate, thank you guys for providing commentary and everything else today. I'm going to go over and I'm going to knock out these super chats, and I'm going to sign off and say goodbye to everybody. I love you guys. I miss you guys, and I appreciate you guys being in here, but I'm going to go ahead and drop out of here. Thank you guys. And now I'm going back over here to go over some of these dang super chats, because we've had quite a few go in as we're going there. Kristen Heaton just came in donating $5. Mighty Spatula says, God bless you. God bless everybody here. And I pray for those that wish for harm to see the light of the Lord. You and me both. That's something that I've been getting really into. Shelly Johnson jumping in, becoming a true supporter. Incock Faraday says, co-host once in a while, not every day. I listen for news, not opinions. Maybe make a designated discussion day. Bingo. We just did that. Mighty Spatula, sorry, I just got here checking in on the Daisy Duke shorts. I gave you a pants check in the middle of those discussions. Daryl, member of 20 months. Hello, Matt and Banana Crew. Andre, he understands that guns will be necessary for the revolution, but only for his supporters. Once the revolution has taken place, they will disarm the general population. He's talking about Mamdani over inside New York and not wanting to tell Hamas to disarm themselves. Jay the Stray, anti-fascist action was formed in Russia in the 1920s. Anarchist Red Cross, only Russia in early 1900s. The U.S. Anarchist Black Cross was formed by Russian immigrants in 1907, and now they're Antifa today. That would make sense. I got to look into it, though. Robert Tram, I'm a little late to the party this morning. Is that Tommy Boy 2.0 on Discord with Matt? No, that was Tristan Allen that was on Discord with me. Kelly McDonald, Matt, I have watched the ICE protest. I have friends streaming in LA and Chicago. I have watched you on the ground. I work in mental health, and this isn't that. This is evil. I am really mad this isn't stopped. When is it enough? That's my view on it, on all of the protests and everything that were taking place, of protest, quote unquote, that were taking place inside Portland. It's not a mental health issue. Some of it is drugs. Like some of the violent agitators, the most loud, obnoxious people that are trying to provoke action out of you, that are on the protester side, in my opinion, a couple of them might have some drug problems. Not naming names, not going to point them out. I'm sure you guys could watch the videos and figure out who they are. Other than that, to me, it's an information issue. It's false information that's being pumped out. It's people controlling social media. It's people controlling the narrative in mainstream media. Part of the reason why, you know, channels such as this are going to continue to grow over the future, because people are tired of just getting, you know, one-sided narrative and not the entirety of what's going on. Who didn't know that airports got taken over inside, like the PA systems got taken over? Who didn't know about the Qatar pilots coming here to the United States of America, but didn't get the full story on it? The United States isn't giving Qatar a base. The United States is simply allowing them to fly airplanes. And like Nate said, stuff happens all the time, but they're making mountains out of molehills. And in my opinion, it's not even a molehill. Oh man, we got a new member. Where'd he go? Yoshi, welcome. Becoming a brand new true supporter. Incog Faraday gifting out 5 Speak the Truth memberships. Patrick Loudon gifting out 5. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I bid you adieu. I know there's people ask me, why am I not doing daily devotionals? I decided what I'm going to do to make sure that everything I'm putting out is like sounded in Christ's words for these daily devotionals. So what I'm actually doing is working with my church, and asking and requesting them. They know what I do for a living, and I'm asking them and requesting from them to give me good daily devotional pieces so that I could actually put out for you guys here at the end. And it's based and it's rooted in Christ's word or the word of God. All right. So that's why I'm holding off on it. I want to make sure that what I'm putting out is directly in line with God. I felt like I did a devotional a while ago, should have done a much better job. It's not normally what I do, but this gives me good study material to go over to make sure that I am doing everything correct and again, within the word of God. So ladies and gentlemen, until I see you next time, peace, love, happiness, and God bless. I am out of here. I like it.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.